Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
So I've decided this morning to share a bit with you from Psalm 27. It's a very important scripture, and I think we look to the Psalms, in particular when things are hard, when things are difficult, we look to the Psalms because the Psalms hold so many keys. In many of the Psalms, it talks about David or someone else who's in a dire place in their lives, and yet they trust in the Lord, yet they call upon the Lord and receive blessing and salvation from the Lord. So Psalm 27 happens to be a Psalm of David. And the subtitle is An Exuberant Declaration of Faith. I like that. That's the New King James. I don't know if that's in every translation or not, but it's An Exuberant Declaration of Faith. And so everything kind of that we're talking about here is still faith. You know, the New Testament says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if you diligently seek him, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's not talking about these things on the side of your head. My daughter tells me mine are too big, by the way. He's talking about the ears of your heart. If you open up the ears of your heart and look at what's so obvious around us, something like beauty, the beauty of the creation, the beauty, the magnificent of the most gifted artist, painter, poet, photographer, any kind of arts or the sciences, and to put together an environment that bursts with life in different seasons, in different ways, in different landscapes, in different geographical areas, and the wonders of the Niagara Falls of the world, and the Grand Canyons, and the glory of the buttercup, and we just had our crocus are starting to spring up out of the ground, and that's pretty exciting after a long winter. You know, there is faith. And you can't, if you can't see it simply from looking at the creation, then you got to then connect with the Bible, connect with God through the Bible, because God has not desired for any person to be lost, but for everyone to come to the knowledge of his salvation. So Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, if we're talking about the God who created the heavens and the earth, we don't even know how many light years in expanse the universe is. We know that it's big. You know, it's like mega big. It's light years big, the galaxy, the stars in the sky. And so if the Lord is my light and my salvation, the Lord being the one who created the whole thing, if the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? I mean, really, what can I fear? What's the worst that can happen? Yeah, bad things can happen in life. Bad things do happen in life. Bad things happen to everyone in life on some level or another. There's tremendous suffering on this planet. Always has been. It's actually probably more natural for people to live in some kind of state of suffering than it is for an entire 330 million people to live in an essential state of okayness, where most people's needs are met, where there is not a ton of starvation and things like that. Certainly we have sicknesses and diseases and cancer and all of those things, but I'm telling you, we're in a good place, you know, in this generation. And because we're in a good place, excuse me, like, it's so common of the children of the wealthy to become non-believers. Like, God prospers a generation, and a generation is raised up, and they are very, very grateful to the Lord and very, very generous to the things of God. And then it's very common for the children of that generation to be not so grateful, because they don't really maybe need the Lord for their daily provision the way their fathers, their forefathers, their ancestors did. When we needed God, we need you to get us through. And that creates a way of being, a way of looking at the world around us through the eyes of God. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Open your heart and hear that there is a God in heaven who loves you. There's been a split between humanity and God. God did not create that split. Humans created that split by being disobedient to God. And God had to remove himself, because God is holy and nothing unholy can stand in his presence. That's why Jesus came between God and man, representing God on the God side and man on the man side, so that he can be, his blood creates a filter that we can stand before God now as holy, because we're in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that whole cross thing. That's why that's so important. So if the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Who should I fear? There's nothing to fear. You know, the only thing really to be afraid of is to be afraid of God. that you don't get your payday when your little walk is through down here on this planet. He goes on to say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God is the strength of your life, you have nothing to be afraid of. He's your strength. You have strength. You have strength in your heart. You have strength in your mind. You're not scared of everything. You're not Chicken Little, Henny Penny, the sky is falling. It's President Trump's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. It's, you know, this person's fault. It's that person's fault. No. Who shall I fear? Now, listen, I believe we should be involved in all of it. I think you should bring your best good sense to the table and talk about all of it that's going on in our world right now. But if the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Because ultimately, I'm looking for the remedy that comes from God. I'm not looking to put myself underneath some kind of government overreach. And I'm also not looking to put myself in some anarchist movement that denies government at all. We need the protection of the government. Again, Romans 13 says God has given us the protection of the government, the police, so that we can live at peace with each other. It says, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. That's what King David said. He said, I had enemies and they were coming after me. It feels like there's an enemy coming after us, right? Coronavirus or whatever, or economic failure or sickness or, you know, whatever it is, a family imploding during times like these. It says, when the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fell. It says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Enemies can come against me, right? You know, We don't call it enemies because it's a germ. It's a virus. We can't see it. But listen, it's an enemy. It's an enemy of our life. It's an enemy of our well-being, our health, our well-being. And he's saying, I will not be afraid. Though the enemy encamp about me, I will not be afraid. I will not fear. Now, that doesn't say that you run in a foolhardy manner into the mouth of some lion that's out to get you. It just means that you come to terms with the fact that, wow, we have an enemy. We have a formidable foe that's coming against us. And yet I shall not fear. He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. One thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing I have desired of the Lord. With all of the goings on of life, you know, King David, if you know anything of his story, it was always a melee. There was always, had friends coming after him, enemies coming after him, all that kind of thing. But yet he says this, he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And you know what? That doesn't start. To dwell in the house of the Lord does not start when you die. Dwelling in the house of the Lord, you know, starts now. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you wish and you'll have it. You know, so dwelling in the house of the Lord is somewhere you dwell in your heart. Jesus said, you know, don't pray like the Pharisees do, you know, so people can see them because they're so holy. They got their gowns on and they're out in the middle of the, you know, the marketplace and they're praying their pious prayers to be heard by men. Jesus said, don't do that. He said, when you pray, I want you to go into your inner room and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and that I may inquire in his temple. What do you inquire about? What do you inquire about in the temple of the Lord? Everything. What's life about, God? God, what is happening here? Tell me, Father, please tell me, do I have a purpose in you? Do I have a purpose that's greater than myself in you? I have so many questions. How come life can be so wonderful? Falling in love, enjoying God's creation, you know, so wonderful. People, you know, when they give somebody a new home or something, a poor person a new home, I can't remember the name of the show, you know, I end up all choked up when something good happens to a person. And life can be so wonderful and people can be so joyful and so generous at particular times, but yet it can be so hard, so painful. And people, they have ideas that grate against your very being. And it's hard to sort of walk in a day like that, say, I want to inquire of the Lord. I want to know how can these things be so, Lord? Is it just as easy as I walk in a dumbed down form of human experience or human existence in order to be a person of faith? Well, Jesus said we do have to come as little children. However, you don't stay a little child. You know, hopefully you grow in faith so that your faith encompasses your intellect. Your faith encompasses sort of your ability to sift through information and come up with a place where you can really sort of rise up. So he says, listen, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. You know, I'm 63. I had Lyme disease last year, and I lost everything. Boy, I lost my keys every day. I couldn't find my keys. I couldn't find this and that. I did a lot of seeking last year through the end of the summer and so on. I did a whole bunch of seeking because I lost everything. And it says, one thing I will seek. One thing I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I can live together in harmony with God, that I may dwell in his house, that I can live in his house. You know, it's funny because they came to Jesus and they, you know, Jesus said the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Why is that? It's because if Jesus Christ had a house, there would be a huge cathedral built somewhere in the world, and it would be the Christian Mecca where everyone would have to go once in their life to visit this physical place on the planet. Why is there no physical description given of Jesus in the Bible? Because he's not looking for us to worship a physical description. He's looking for or looking for us to go to some physical place on this planet. You are the body of Christ. Those who believe, you are the body of Christ. That you are the temple of the Lord. The Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, when you go to that inner room, when you go to that place of prayer, you are in the temple of the Lord. You don't need a physical picture of Jesus to focus on. The picture of Jesus you need to focus on is the picture that is painted in words throughout the scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself, healing the sick, raising the dead, helping the hopeless, beaten down population of people. Many of the rich and the uppity people, they didn't really want to have very much to do with them. But there were a few who did. But the people who came to Jesus were the people who were the most desperate. And somewhere, maybe even in a moment like this, we can find that desperation that really draws us closer to the Lord. It says, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, I think it was Keith Green who said, you know, if this world is fallen, but yet it contains such beauty, and heaven, God's eternity, is perfect in all of its ways, and it's not tainted by evil in any way. I think Keith Green says, man, we're living in a garbage can right now compared to what that beauty that we're looking forward to is. But even to sit in Jesus and to behold his beauty through his words, through these stories. You know, I've recently shared about the woman with the issue of bleeding for 20 years. And she had gone to every single doctor she could find. She spent every dollar that she ever had trying to find a cure for this malady, for this sickness. And Jesus happened to be passing by in her town, and there were throngs of people that were crushing in on Jesus as he passed by, as he walked by. And yet she made her way through all of those, I'm sure, strong men, and this woman who was anemic, who had been, I'm sure, iron deficient for so long and had such little energy left in her. She had the energy to work her way through that crowd and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And when she did that, she felt the power of God flow into her. Jesus stops and he turns around and he said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "Lord, everybody's touching you. There are people all around you. What are you talking about?" He said, "Nope, somebody touched me." And the woman sort of said, "It was me, Lord," you know, because he felt the power leave him. If you touch Jesus today, if you'll reach out, if you'll work your way through all the voices of unbelief, all the voices of doubt, and so many critical voices today. Everybody's a know-it-all, and you know, and all of a sudden we can be stricken with a disease or a virus that comes out of nowhere, and we don't know if we know what to do or not. We get the smartest minds we can, and we're working against this thing, and boy, praying for the very, very best for everyone. But you know, there's a time where you got to have Jesus. Lord, I got to have you. Lord, I got to know, is there a living God? I got to know. I got to have this touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion." And God, in the time of your trouble, God will hide you in his pavilion. So all the fear darts that are coming on you, and all of the negative, the criticism and the hatred and the anger, and the people, you know, taking every kind of, you know, I don't know, going into stores and ripping the shelves apart and hoarding things and so on and so forth. All of those things, they feel like spears and arrows coming against it. The Lord will hide you in his pavilion. You won't have to become feral, you know, like a pack of wild dogs just going out and tearing things apart because you're so afraid that you're going to have to go without something. Listen, when you're in Jesus Christ, it's not that way. Not that you don't have to take care of yourself. Just don't have to be afraid. It says, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In his secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. And he shall set me high upon a rock. That means you're out of the reach of your enemies. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Now he's talking about enemies are surrounding him. People are out for his blood. And yet the Lord has protected me in his pavilion. He has set me high upon a rock. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy. What's a sacrifice of joy? I don't feel joyful. I don't feel like being joyful. I feel like being downhearted. I feel like being hopeless. I feel like being angry. My apple cart has been upset here. My cool, groovy American way has been upset. And the psalmist is saying, no, I will lift up the sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle. Where's his tabernacle? It's where you meet with him. Where did Jesus say to meet with him? Go to the secret place, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Go to that secret place and say, Father, I give you, I am joyful in you. I am joyful in you. I am filled with your joy. I am filled with your joy. And you know what? Sometimes you have to say the words before you feel the feelings, because it's a sacrifice of joy. It's not the spontaneous feeling of joy. It's a sacrifice of joy. He said, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Now, I sing, most of my singing is done in private because that's the way most people prefer it. But even somebody like I can sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Bible says I will pray with my spirit. I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit. I will sing with my understanding. You don't have to be a good singer to impress the Lord. You know, if you're not a good singer down here, as far as the planet Earth is concerned, you know, you're singing beautiful arias in heaven because the Father hears it that way, that you're singing to the Lord. It says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. See, God says, seek my face. My heart said, Lord, my face, your face, I will seek. The Lord says, seek my face. And Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. So when the Lord says, seek my face, what? My heart said to you, Lord, your face I will seek. Your face I will seek. Because you said, seek my face, I'm going to seek your face. I'm not going to seek your feet. I'm not going to seek your hands. I'm not going to seek your, you know, I'm not going to seek the calves of your leg. I'm going to seek your face. Lord, I'm going to seek your face. I want to see your face. Your face I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Listen to that. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. I would have lost heart. The last few years, my wife and I, our family has suffered in a number of different ways, but I would have lost heart unless I believed. What do I believe? I believe everything that the Word of God says. I believe that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. I believe that there's life after death. I believe the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe, like the Lord says, if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can say unto a mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will happen for us. And what is it about a mustard seed? Mustard of a flower, of a person, of an animal, seeds. If I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, so that mustard seed, if it's watered properly, if it gets proper sunlight, if it's planted in the proper soil, a seed will grow, and a seed will become the full measure of what it was intended to be. It says that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you know, that's what we're hoping for now. You know, it's wonderful that we believe in a heaven beyond the existence of this life, but it is really wonderful to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living here now. And since 1982, when I gave my heart to the Lord, from then until now, we have had many, many, many good years, and had some fire too. Lord, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. James Taylor, for those of you who don't get that. It just says, the final verse says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And want to finish by saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, that everyone listening today would feel lifted up by you, feel the love that you have for us, come closer to you, live in you, love in you, that we would all return to you, that people all across our land would return to our churches, to our Jesus, to our steeples pointing to heaven, to our secret places in our closets, that we can pray personally to you, and that we would find you. Seek and we'll find you, Father, when we seek you with all of our heart. So I pray that this epidemic would be over quickly, and Father, that we would end up on the other end of this thing, loving you more than ever before. This is Bob Englehart. I pray you have a good day. God bless.
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you today for listening to our podcast, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today, and maybe today God has shown you your need for him in your life. John chapter 8, and in verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus makes us free from our sin. If you need to make Jesus first in your life today and be set free, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today and ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers. Start a prayer life as well and start carving out time in your day to spend time with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Powerful worship, dynamic teaching, and an encouraging time of fellowship. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's vision for this area by donating online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. From there, you can also connect with us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us a message and let us know how this ministry is impacting your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson, signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.